Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jarrow, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jarrow.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jarrow.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 56 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. We got a fun episode for you here today. We recorded our interview portion just a little bit ago with Alyssa Boitari, so stay tuned for that. That was a lot of fun talking to her. As usual, I'm joined with Mr. Mike Ward, who handles all of our tech stuff and does a bang-up job on that, as well as the website, for that matter. Yeah. So check out our website. And Mike, yeah, how you been?
Yeah, real good. Real good.
Excellent.
Ready for another riveting episode.
Yeah, and you know, thanks to everybody for listening, too. We try to say it often. We really appreciate it. We've said this definitely before. You know, it's really cool to hear out when we're out in the community people saying that they listen to us, and we really appreciate that. That's pretty sweet.
I think we're up to over 7 fans by now.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think we joke maybe well, a little over, too much about
yeah.
about people listening or whatever, but either way, I was trying to make a hilarious joke about the first race result we have is the Rivet Run, and we're getting ready for a riveting episode.
Yeah, there you go. Nice, the segue.
Yeah,
professional.
Yeah. Going for a super professional segue. I'll get right into it. So we have results from the Rivet Run. I know we talked about it last episode, but I think it was literally the day we recorded. Now we have results up for it. The Rivet Run was on November 6th, back, it seems like ancient history, but back November 6th, Emmett Johnson won the race from South Range, Wisconsin with a 20 minutes and 21 seconds. Benjamin Welch from Duluth, second place, 22:11. On the ladies' side, Lori Mickelson won the race with a 29:18. And then Savaya Jacobson, 13 years old, was second place in the ladies' division with a 31 minute flat. So ultimately, 87 finishers for the 2022 Rivet Run, the fall edition.
Cool.
Next, we have the Gobble Gallop, which is the one of the more, I guess, one of the bigger races in mm-hmm. Duluth yep. as it stands, the Thanksgiving Morning Classic. I don't know what year. I think this was like the 15th year. I mean, it's been
Seems
going
right.
on for
yeah,
a long
15,
time
16
now.
Years, yeah.
Just under 1,300 finishers for the 5K. Scott Bailing won the race with a 15:09. First place on the gals' side is Chelsea Youngberg, 28 from Duluth, and she won with a 17:57. So, nice job. Super quick times out there. It was a pretty nice day to run.
Was it?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah,
yep.
I heard the weather's good.
Good temperatures, so.
Cool.
In the 1 mile, the Tough Turkey 1 mile, Jonah Greensmith won the race, 12 years old from Duluth, 7 minutes, 59 seconds. In the gals race, Millie Greensmith family taking the taking the podium, 9 years old, 9 minutes and 31 seconds. So nice job to the 88 finishers on the 1 mile. Yeah, pack jammed event with several thousand runners. So and then another Duluth Running Company produced race was just yesterday, and we have results. 471 Santas mm-hmm. Finished the Wild Santa Run 5K, which was put on in part by Wild State Cider at the cidery in the Lincoln Park area. The race was won by Anthony Reeves, 25 years old from Minneapolis, 18:34 for the win there. And then Chelsea Youngberg wins another 5K race with a 20:26. for her. So maybe not so favorable conditions yesterday. It was kind of sloppy on the road. So.
Yeah, yeah. I saw some video too of that race, and yeah, they were trudging through a lot of snow.
Yeah, yeah. But still, a lot of runners showed up. Just about 500. So pretty impressive there. That's a lot of Santas. For upcoming races, we actually have a few, which is exciting. I know one of our favorite, the Duluth Winter Trail Running Series, is back for 2022-2023. The first race of the series is just next weekend as we record. That's December 17th, which I believe is a Saturday. Yep. Without looking. Yeah, Saturday, December 17th is the Chester Rim 5K. So that starts off the series. Again, there is five events as part of the Winter Trail Running Series. So definitely check out the website, DuluthWinterTrailSeries.com. You can get a sense of the whole series schedule. The other race to note, which we may record another podcast between now and then, but on January 7th, 2023, is the Northwoods Winter Marathon and Half Marathon Championships at Leicester Park. So,
yep,
part of the series again. That's a really fun race. So, if you're looking for something to get into this winter, definitely check out the Duluth Winter Trail Running Series. Next, we have trail conditions. Just took a peek on the City of Duluth website, as well as the Superior Hike and Trail Association webpage and the COGS website, and it's unanimous that trails are open. Mm-hmm. We're still maybe in kind of the season where, you know, warmer temperatures could kind of muck up the trails. Might be surprising to see an actual closure, but yeah, generally pretty good conditions out there, especially if it's below freezing.
Yeah, I think the morning time will be a really good time for the trails. We're looking at a relatively warm week here coming up. Mm-hmm. So especially for daytime highs, maybe kind of that mid low to mid 30s. But I think probably during, say, a random Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, daytime trail usage isn't quite as high as it would be, say, after hours, like mm-hmm. after work, weekends, before work. So the timing kind of often works out relatively well for the majority of people when mm-hmm. they're going to be out on the trails. It'll be, you know, dark in the morning and still cool enough where the trails won't be too soft.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And you were out, Tony, on the trails just recently, or is that right?
Yeah, so just Friday, Hartley, Bagley, Chester, mm-hmm. a little bit. And yeah, the trails were great.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Really great.
Just a good reminder at this point is, you know, post-holing can really have a adverse effect on the trails. You know, if you're making big footprints, you know, after mm-hmm. a fresh snow, a lot of times it's fairly difficult, even if it's a groomed, you know, like mountain bike trail, it's difficult to get rid of those marks, and they can kind of freeze up, and that's really like an ankle roller for anyone out on the trail, from dog walkers to runners. So just be mindful as you're out on the trail for not only just warmer temperatures that can kind of soften the snow, but if we get a new snowfall, especially a sizable, you know, 8-10 foot plus, if you're making big divots in a established trail like the Superior Hiking Trail or COGS, maybe stick to the lake walk that day or something.
Yeah, or even sometimes even snowshoes work pretty well too. You
right.
can either just go for a hike, or if you have some running snowshoes, do that, because you're simply not going to sink in mm-hmm. anywhere near as much on a snowshoe. So
well, that's even better, I would say, right? Because then you can actively pack down the trail and mm-hmm. just kind of make it nicer for the next person behind you.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, but definitely getting into winter trail running season, which is, gosh, I don't know, it might be my favorite.
Yeah, I agree. As I've gotten older, the technical trails don't thrill me as much anymore. But in the winter, the trails aren't technical at all.
Because right.
it's all just smoothed over with snow, and I enjoy it a lot more than I do in the summertime.
Right, especially trails where fat bikes go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, with the snow dogs and the grooming that the That's snow good. Dog machine does. Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Fun.
Yep.
Next in our series of the rundown section, thoughts on the run. Tony, what have you been pondering out on the
well and I was there? Yeah, just on Friday when I was out there running, yeah. I was thinking about this, so it literally truly was a thought on the run. And we've maybe brought this up before. We've done so many podcasts now, and this is 56 that I know we've covered the same topic multiple times or have the same discussion almost. So I apologize for that if somebody has heard this before, but I was kind of trying to decide, like, where I was just thinking, like, I think the best running fitness, and you have to see what you think about this, Mike.
Yeah.
Is marathon racing shape.
Oh, yeah.
I think if you're in marathon racing shape, not just marathon covering the distance shape, but really truly at your peak and you can race a marathon, I don't know if you can be in better shape.
Yeah.
And I would say I would put that up over any kind of ultra marathon shape that you could be in.
Yeah.
Even say 100 marathon racing or 100 mile racing shape.
Yeah.
Because that's so different.
Yeah.
So different. And I don't know if you quite. I don't think it quite holds up to marathon racing shape.
Yeah. So you're saying maybe from like the metric of like VO2 max or some type of, maybe I'm not the most scientifically attuned person, but from like an objective fitness standpoint, perhaps.
Yeah, totally objective. So here's why I will say that. Number one, your stamina, your endurance is outstanding at that point because you can hold up relatively fast pace for 26 miles. Your strength is really good because you've been able to survive the training and the hundreds of miles, thousands of miles that you've put in.
Right.
And to be able to, again, race for 26 miles. So your strength is really good.
Yeah.
A lot of times your foot speed is pretty good and you hear it all the time with people like who will say, I ran my 5K PR when I was marathon training.
Right.
Right. And so it's just your aerobic capacity is huge.
Yeah.
Your running efficiency is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can quite get that wide range of kind of excellence.
Yeah. Yeah.
In peak shape of other distances, like even from the 5K to the 100 mile. I think marathon racing shape is the ultimate shape that you could be in.
Yeah. Like, good shape aside, I think from a versatility standpoint, because, you know, I think most recreational runners will do a variety of races, right?
You're
not just doing one marathon one time. Like, you maybe pop in a 5K or you're doing a trail race too. And I think that versatility for marathon training is premium, you know.
Yeah,
you could pop in a 5K and have a great time.
Absolutely.
But then you could go longer, you know, for instance, like you mentioned, and probably do really, really well.
Another thing too, if let's just say you're running grandma's, and so you hop into a 5K in the middle of May, and you race that 5K really hard, and even if you don't PR, but you have a pretty good race, because you've been marathon training, you're recovering from that 5K a lot quicker than if you're not really putting in 20 mile long runs and 100 mile big weeks, let's just say.
Yeah,
if you're just kind of training specifically for a 5K, which you maybe even ran the 5K faster in that May race, it's going to take you longer to recover versus the person who's marathon training,
right?
Too.
Well, I'm looking at marathon training myself for grandma's this year to be
nice.
Kind of my base training block for some longer trail races through the summer. So that's funny that you mentioned that, because I've had this in my mind of like, if I can put together a really good training block leading up to grandma's, I'm going to be set for the whole summer and I can kind of just do maintenance.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
so
in fact, you can dial back the mileage and just kind of maintain the, stay in touch with the speedier stuff and you'll be just fine.
It's interesting too. So my brother, Andrew, has been really just chipping away at his marathon time. So he's done, you know, maybe a marathon or two the last like 3 years or something. And then I try to get him in some of these longer races. Oh, I don't know, it's too long. And maybe it's like a training, like, I can't put together that training. It's like, trust me, you can shave off 20 minutes three times in a row on your marathon. You know exactly what it takes to excel at like a 50K or a 50-miler. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what it takes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe little tweaks, but yeah.
Yeah, 100%. You could run, say, 50-mile races and never train anything different than as if you were marathon training like a 20-mile long run, 22-mile long run.
Right.
You could run 50-mile races really, really well on that.
Yeah, right.
You know, 100-mile races, maybe you need to put in some bigger weekends or, you know, I don't know, maybe, but, well, maybe not. Maybe you just have to practice walking fast. there is a little bit of that with the 100-miler.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, And also that for a lot of us too, this are kind of the rank and file world, mm-hmm. that marathon training, say weekly mileage, is probably about the peak that most of us can handle anyway.
Yeah.
Both time wise and physicality wise.
Right.
So yeah, maybe that's one reason why it explains, or at least where my theory is about it being your peak fitness. Maybe that's why. That's kind of the most that we could even do.
On the flip side, I think, you know, how marathon training is maybe the best type of training, that also explains why the marathon race is maybe the most challenging race, in my opinion, compared to a 100-miler, 50-miler, 5K, 10K. I think the marathon is the hardest. Oh, my gosh.
I agree, too. Some people are really, really good at the marathon. I can't figure out how they're able to do that. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
But, there's the aspects of... Or
speed in the distance.
And then the calorie burn and that efficiency that you don't need to worry about with even a half marathon, really. Mm-hmm. Certainly with 10K on down.
Yeah.
And the amount of time. So then you've got things like the weather is a bigger factor then, because you're out there for, say, let's just say 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever. Mm-hmm. The weather plays a bigger factor in that race than it would for other distances. So, yeah, there's a lot of... The marathon is tricky, and there's a lot of reasons why.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Not on the run, next, what do we got? What I'm into. What have you been into
lately? You and I were talking. We both kind of been doing something kind of similar. Mm-hmm. I had a little house project just recently. We kind of redid our TV room, so I put up like a little accent wall I used some... pergol flooring and put that up on the wall actually. And then did some wainscoting on the other three walls, and repainted a little bit, and just touched up that TV room that we have down in the basement. Nice. That kind of needed it. So fun project. I got that done. How about you?
Same house project. In fact, it's taken up everything else in my life. Kind of a frustrating project, but it's going to be good to get done. It was insulation, but before the insulation was electrical. And then because of that electrical, had to patch some walls. Might as well patch some other walls and might as well paint. And so it's been a kind of a big renovation, but really like the first... I've lived in my house for going on seven years now, I guess.
Yeah.
Something. So and really haven't undertaken anything quite this... large, so it's been a lot of learning, but fun. And just the last 3 weeks have been really trying to like get this wall and painting project done, and have not even run a step just because of that. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's just kind of a bad excuse, but maybe that would help be more efficient if I actually went for a run. And like, I don't have time, I gotta do, and then I just sit around and like mumble to myself and I'm frustrated. But
So you don't have a background in this kind of stuff, right?
No.
You're just kind of learning as you go.
Yeah.
And same with me. Like, I've always been kind of interested in it. I used to watch my grandpa build things all the time and kind of, mm-hmm. can I hold the tape measure for you kind of thing?
Right.
There's a phrase that I really like and I think about a lot when I'm doing projects like this. It's the work will show you how to do the work. You just kind of dig in to whatever it is that you're doing, and you'll kind of figure it out along the way. And I actually really enjoy that. I'll look at YouTube videos and mm-hmm. I'll get some advice mm-hmm. and some how-tos, but ultimately you have to get in and just start doing things,
right?
And then you can kind of like
see it,
you figure it out, and you get a little bit better. I had a couple of tricky spots with some trim. I had some pine cove, 3/4-inch pine cove, and I had to do a three-way miter into a corner from ceiling, wall, down to floor. So two ceiling things, one wall, and then down to the floor. So mm-hmm. a three-way miter. I'd never done a three-way miter before. Yeah. It was really tricky to get that measured properly at the right angles.
Just to like visualize it, like, okay, how does that go?
It was really hard, but... You know, I made some test pieces, and I kind of just, the first ones were bad, and it took me a couple, three, four tries, and I finally got it, and they look really good. I'm really pleased with how it turned out.
Yeah.
But that was so fun to like, in the span of, I don't know, like an hour-ish or so, to go from having absolutely no clue to a finished product that I can be proud of.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
It's fun getting into it. And of course the finished product. Yeah. But, the hardest part for me is like starting and finishing. Like,
yes.
It's like, I don't want to get everything out and it's going to be dusty. I'm going to have to clean. And then like find excuses for an hour and
totally.
And then to clean, I was like, oh my gosh, like maybe I'll just leave it. Like, nope. Can't leave it.
That's too dusty. Honestly, that TV room sat unfinished for a long, long, long time because I was like, I got to move all the books and the bookcases and the coffee table. And that has to go somewhere. And then you're kind of stepping around that for however long this project's taking you.
Yeah.
And then I got to put it all back together again. And then I still actually have a few books that didn't get put away.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hear you on that.
It takes
that.
A long time to it does. Do this. So, especially if like a carpenter or a drywall person, it would take like no time at all. But I think to learn, that's part of the process, I guess, is to learn. And it's faster that second time. So,
Yep. Very cool. Well, hopefully, you know, you get that sucker wrapped up here pretty quick. Yeah, I know you were saying it's close.
It's close.
Yeah.
I will. Yeah. By next time, next podcast, I'll be wrapped up.
Nice.
Let's see. We got a couple shout outs to round out the episode here. Kind of a shorter episode, I guess. But one is the Lake Effect running team. For avid Duluth Rundown listeners, you may remember Scott Bailing, who we report on quite frequently because he wins a lot of local races, like the Gobble Gallop, for instance. But Scott mentioned how excited he was to go back out to the USATF Cross Country Club Championships, national club national championships, which this year were in San Francisco. So Scott talked about that a bunch. You can go back in the archives and listen to that episode, of course. And Lake Effect Athletics Club they took 23rd for the team open teams. Tom Cedarquist was first place within the team. Scott second place, and pretty cool to see him actually get to go back out there and compete. And I know Scott was pretty excited about when we interviewed him. So
yeah, really cool opportunity. I've always like kind of wanted to be able to do that. I'm not fast enough. Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter, but I mean, generally the people who are going out there are people who are pretty good local runners,
right?
Regardless of where in the country they're coming from, there are people of my ability that are out there as well. To me, that looks like a lot of fun. We've had Greg Robertson has been on, and he's been down to Club Nats too. And I think he was in Louisville, Kentucky that year, or Lexington, or one of those L towns in Kentucky.
Yeah.
But I think Louisville. Supposed to be a lot of fun and cool for Lake Effect for those guys to get out there and have good time.
Yeah.
And then one other shout out real quick to Tiffany. Tiffany Carey Sismas just recently ran Cal International just last Sunday and ran her second sub-3 marathon. So really great job, Tiff. Super proud of you on that.
And she just doesn't stop, huh?
She had a really good race. So she is actually, her PR was at Grandma's this year, but she said that she was actually more proud of this race because it was a little more difficult course.
Oh, sure.
And then Grandma's with some of the, there were some early rolly hills, even though it's known as a fast course because it's a net downhill.
Yeah.
Which it is, but apparently in the first, maybe third or so of the race, certainly the first half, there's some kind of rolly hills, some ups and downs. And it was really, really humid. It was 100% humidity because it had just rained like, it stopped that morning.
Right.
It was really humid out. So she ran a really, really good race.
Yeah. I feel like CIM is challenging for Minnesota athletes just because of, I mean, the humidity or just the change in the climate or weather or whatever. And, but also just, it's kind of a strange time to be peaking, you know, be training and peaking for a race. There's not a lot of other events where you can like, you know, kind of be events to lead up to it. And
exactly.
Of course, like plenty of weather challenges here in Minnesota or Duluth, and then to go out to California where it could be hot or just drastically different.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's really impressive for another amazing marathon performance for Tiff.
Yeah.
What else do we got here? Anything else to note, Tony?
I think that's about it, but I was hoping to maybe, if I kind of forgot about this until just now, I was going to do like a year-end review like a lot of people do, but I don't think we necessarily need to do a year-end review. I'm not prepared for it.
I'm not prepared for it.
But again, though,
Year's not over either.
Well, true. I do want to thank everybody for listening. It's really cool to hear that you do, and we're going to continue doing it too. So, doing the podcast,
whether you listen or not.
Yeah, exactly.
But another thing, if you do listen, if you're listening to this right now, feel free to send in comments, suggestions, or your own shout outs. You know, if you did something cool you're proud of, or you know someone, we're happy to do shout outs kind of on behalf of the listeners and fans. You know, we just essentially scroll through like Facebook to see what's going on, right?
Yeah, sometimes. Totally.
So, yep. Love to hear the feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, let me know. Even if like we have throw an opinion out there, like I often do.
Yeah.
And if you disagree, I'd love to hear, you know, just to hear what you have to say. You know, I'm always willing to hear that and listen and learn. Maybe marathon racing shape is not the best shape to be in, and have some comments on that. That'd be awesome to talk about.
Yeah. Which, by the way, before we wrap up, you can reach Tony and I at theduluthrundown@gmail.com, or of course on Facebook, or shake us down on the street
page. Send us a text.
Probably
most people listening have our numbers.
Should we get going to our interview here?
Yeah, let's do it.